Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Hour number three of Sports 180 begins. Thank you for being with us. Hope you're having a great Wednesday. We're having a good time here at the Dollar General Market, 9224 Middlebrook Pike. We are out here thanks to Bud Light. Their New Year's in Nashville giveaway will draw two qualifiers at the end of today's show for the grand prize. Two tickets to see Old Crow Medicine Show on December 31st. Then the next day, the Nashville Predators will be in action. And the day after that, you can see the Tennessee Titans play the Miami Dolphins. Plus, you'll get $750 cash if you win the big grand prize from Bud Light. So stop by and register right here where we are today at the Dollar General Market, 9224 Middlebrook Pike. We'll be set up here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Heather, we're a couple hours into the show. Where are we at this point? You got the Jeremy Pruitt situation that's ongoing, trying to move past what happened against Ole Miss. I'm sure Tennessee would love to as well, while they still have to figure out some stuff from behind the scenes. But it's also Alabama week, which I don't know if that's something that's good or bad, but it is.
It's something that is. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yes. Along with, the Jeremy Pruitt stuff coming back this week, of course people are like, golly, we can't get a break. I mean, based on everything that is going on around, especially from the national media's perspective, people are still reliving what happened Saturday night, and they're, kind of poking fun, I guess, now at the Tennessee fan base. So trying to move past that. Then you see this Jeremy Pruitt stumbling block. I guess Tennessee has until October 29th to kind of respond and try to make a deal with Jeremy Pruitt, or else he's going to unleash whatever secrets he knows. It's a shrewd move. He's definitely not going to have, if he had friends left in Knoxville, he's probably not going to have them much longer if this comes to light. But it's just a divorce that is getting ugly, and most divorces do, unfortunately. And then you've got Alabama looming. So it's kind of a trifecta of, okay, can we hit the fast forward button? Like, I would give up a couple of days of my life to go ahead and have it be October, 25th? 26th?
Yeah, so you would go click the Adam Sandler movie just a few days forward here?
Yeah, we go a few days forward. I mean, I think you get to Sunday, you still enjoy part of the weekend. You get to watch some NFL, and the Bama game is behind you.
Yeah. Okay. Not a bad thought. I think a number of fans would take that. With the Jeremy Pruitt situation, I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know what he knows or is alleging that he knows. I don't know. But I'm not surprised by what we saw last night, reading the New Sentinel story when that came out, and then some of the follow-ups with ESPN.com story. You can go there and read some responses from Rick Barnes and Philip Fulmer as well. I'm not surprised by any of this. I was sure that Jeremy Pruitt was going to fight for his money. I'm pretty sure most people would fight for their money, whether they're going to get it or not, when it's that amount. So I'm not surprised. I don't know how it's going to play out, but the story itself continues to linger here, 9 or so months in.
Yeah, the story continues to linger, and the investigation continues to linger. So, yeah. I mean, just not having any sort of closure. And then you put stuff, I think, as a general fan, you put stuff in the back of your mind and you kind of forget about it. You've got your own life going on. You know, you're participating now in games. You're thinking about basketball season. You're probably getting ready for that. And then boom, on ESPN and in the New Sentinel is this truth bomb sort of from Jeremy Pruitt's attorneys. And they want to put this all behind them. I mean, think about them, too. I'm sure the checks stopped payment that Monday when Dondi Plowman announced that he was going to be fired. He got a job in the NFL, but is looking at money that was left on the table and wants at least some of it. It does say something that he's willing to negotiate. Like, I think they're also chastising UT. Like, they don't even want to negotiate. They just want to say no, and that's not going to fly,
right, according
to his attorney.
Right. Did people really think that Jeremy Pruitt would just say, okay, I don't get any, that's fine, You win. I mean, that just was never a scenario that was going to play out. I don't know if he will ultimately get anything, but my guess has been that there would be a settlement at the end. But I was sure that he would not just accept the firing for cause with no payment.
Yeah, and you mentioned it earlier. I know it's in Blake Topmeyer's story, but this particular lawyer, Michael Lyons, has also represented David Beatty when he sued Kansas for firing him. He was owed $3 million, and this law firm got him $2.5 million of that. So it seems like they've got at least a solid track record, and you could see why Jeremy Pruitt sought him out.
Right. This also makes it, me saying, well, you should have known that he was probably going to fight for his money, makes it no less frustrating for Tennessee fans, especially this week. You know, it's been a stressful week for fans in terms of what's going on. Here we go again, you know, whatever the case might be. And then you have this story come out with Jeremy Pruitt. So it probably just feels like enough already.
Yeah.
Has to, right, for Tennessee fans?
And I said that earlier. There's something to bad things happening in threes. You always hear that with celebrity deaths, and everybody's like, oh, guard Betty White. You know, like, we don't want to hear that. Not today. But, yeah, it's been a couple of pieces of bad news. And then, of course, looking ahead to the weekend, I don't think anybody's expecting that to be great. And it's just so hard to even categorize what to do with the Alabama game. You sent me a graphic yesterday. Was that from ESPN or from a service? And it was just breaking down the Tennessee-Alabama quote-unquote rivalry over the past 15 years or 14 years, and there's just not any great stats on that image that would make a Tennessee fan proud.
Yeah, even knowing how lopsided it's been, it's almost startling to see the numbers. In 14 years, Tennessee has led for a little more than 17 minutes of game time. That's a quarter out of 56.
Yeah.
It's just, it's been brutal. So, you know, this is a week that, this is one that many fans, it would be their favorite week of the season. It's the game you look forward to the most.
And people that came out, like, would be out of town, or people that wanted to go to a game, like, from Knoxville.
Yeah,
got to go to the Bama game. And we heard people over the summer, they were like, I don't want those tickets.
So, it's homecoming for Alabama this week.
Mm-hmm. So it's just hard. I definitely sympathize with fans. I mean, it's not their fault, that's for sure. And it really stinks when there's somebody that makes you look bad and you didn't do anything. You know, there was a lot of good people in the stands that got lumped together with the people in kind of the south end zone and the east sideline that were the throwers. And that stinks. And it's not a fun place to be when you're getting blamed for something that you didn't do. But again, don't lose the hope that we all felt collectively early on last week, all the way up until Friday. Last week was such a fun week. And with Josh Heupel and this crew, you're going to have more of those opportunities. I really firmly believe, I don't know how many games you're going to win, if you're ever going to win a championship or anything like that, but you will have more environments that were like Saturday night in the positive way. And eventually this will be behind you.
Health will be a factor in Tennessee trying to find success in the short term, not just Alabama, but Kentucky 2 weeks after that. Where might things stand with that? We will look at that with Tennessee, with Georgia, with several NFL players. When we come back, who's benched or battle ready thanks to Benchmark Physical Therapy, as we continue at the Dollar General Market here at 9224 Middlebrook Pike. We are out here thanks to Bud Light with your chance to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville giveaway. It is free to register here on Sports 180 on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We continue at the Dollar General Market thanks to Bud Light this afternoon. And we're excited to welcome to the show, joining us from Benchmark Physical Therapy, as it's time to look at who is benched or battle ready, our friend Himmel rejoins us. Himmel, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Doing really well. We're at the point, so it's the second half of October, so the injuries just kind of pile up at this point, unfortunately, in football, in college, and the NFL. So we have a number to run through, and also in the world of basketball. But we're going to start locally, and you tell us how hard it is for you to try to figure things out. But I know you can see what happens on the field. Tennessee dealing with a number of injuries. Do they rest guys? How much is that a factor? But the conversation probably starts with quarterback Hendon Hooker, who went out with a lower leg injury, and then also, you know, Cooper Mays has been trying to come back. But Hendon Hooker starting there, and you can go whichever direction you want, Himmel. How do you figure out where things stand, and then also the rest versus trying to get back out there. What kind of decision-making goes into that for a medical staff?
Yeah, so really with his injury, it's tough to deal with just because we don't really know exactly what's going on. But I would assume it sounds like he's day-to-day, so it's more likely a soft tissue injury or some kind of knock that they're going to be monitoring as he goes through. And it's really going to boil down to how bad the risk of re-injury or aggravation is for the rest of the season if he were to play, as to whether they'll let him pad up and go out against Bama this week. So that's going to be the real difficult factor. But they're going to be monitoring how he cuts and moves and other athletic movement as he goes through training this week, just to assess and make sure that he is good to go. The biggest thing is making sure that you're not going to risk making things worse if he were to play. That's going to be the biggest factor, I believe.
Hey, Himmel, I want to ask you for your insight. You know, the ending to Tennessee's game was just crazy with the 20-plus minute stoppage of time and the really cool temperatures. What does that do to the body as these guys were fully anticipating ending the game much quicker than what they did? And then you saw some stiffness maybe set in. Just what did that do to those guys during that 20-minute delay?
Yeah, so during that 20-minute delay, it's obviously, you know, during a game, they're kind of continuing to move and the blood's flowing and the joints and ligaments stay loose, lax, and they're able to kind of continue to play as they usually would. When that cold sets in, especially with a 20-minute bout of rest, if they're not continuously moving and continuously kind of keeping themselves going, there is the risk of things stiffening up, things getting tight, and almost that, like, post-workout physiology kicking in within the body and things starting to shut down a little bit just because the body feels like it's done with the game. So it's time to kind of start rehealing and getting ready for, you know, the next bout of activity. So with the lack of movement, if there was any for the players, as well as the cold that was out there during the day, it's definitely going to affect their performance, especially in that, even though it was a minute, it's still enough to affect someone, and it can increase the risk of injury for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting. Himmel's with us from Benchmark Physical Therapy. One more Tennessee player to ask you about. He was able to come back this week, played a lot too. Jabari Small has been dealing with a shoulder injury. He takes hits at that position. What is that like playing through that, and then how do they maybe try to help him manage through the rest of the season?
Yeah, so the biggest thing for him is recovery and pain management for that shoulder. It's one of those things where, as a running back, it can be cumbersome. And really the biggest effect that I see is from tackles, and then if there's a play where they're going to kind of dump the ball off to him to run, having his arms outstretched to catch and then avoiding tackles and the impact that will happen as he hits the ground. So the focus for him is really going to be managing his reps that he takes for snaps, and then also managing the shoulder injury from a standpoint of recovery post-game and making sure that they are managing his pain as well as they can to make sure that he can perform to the best of his ability. It's one of those injuries that, you know, he should be able to play through, but they're going to have to keep a close eye on it for sure.
Sticking in college football, I think one of the biggest notable injuries has been to quarterback JT Daniels at the University of Georgia. He's missed several weeks because of that lat injury. What kind of timeline do you think he is working on, and what is he facing as he's trying to come back?
Yeah, so they've been increasing his reps with the throws over the past couple of weeks, which is very promising. The biggest thing with the lat injury for him is going to be his ability to decelerate the arm as he goes through the throwing motion. And the lat really kicks in more so at the end phase of the throw. And that's going to limit him a ton in terms of his ability to follow through and really kind of throw that ball as far as he can. But honestly, with the rate that he is rehabbing, I can see him coming back in 3 to 4 weeks easily, just considering how quickly they're moving forward with the amount of reps they're giving him to practice. With it being a muscle injury, it's definitely one of those ones that needs to be monitored because it's so impactful in the throwing motion. But it's definitely one that can heal fairly quickly and one that he can recover from without much long-lasting injury or issue.
Himmel's with us from Benchmark Physical Therapy, and as we shift to the NFL, these are injuries that they're typically short-term, but I worry about long-term issues. Running back Christian McCaffrey has been out the last few weeks because of a hamstring issue, now on injury reserve, and then Julio Jones this past Monday night, Himmel, he had to leave the game with a hamstring issue. We're talking about running back, wide receiver, a lot of acceleration. What do you think here when you see hamstring issues for these guys?
Yeah, and that's the key here. It's the amount of acceleration that they need and the, how much that hamstring has to work in order for them to do what they need to do at that high level. It's kind of differing degrees for both of these players. With Christian McCaffrey, I would honestly say it's the amount he's been playing, the amount of reps he's been getting, and just the amount of workload he's had season in, season out. And this is more of an overuse hamstring issue, which is why I think they decided to kind of dial it back and give him time to heal. And then with Julio Jones, it's honestly one of those things where I think it sounds like he had an initial kind of injury to it, and then he did something explosive to where it tweaked it again during the game. And for him, it's going to be about managing the symptoms and hoping that things aren't any worse than they were prior to. And if they can rest him, I'm sure they will, because you don't want that hamstring to become a nagging issue. It's one of those muscles that definitely can, the more reps you have, and if you come back too quickly, to where it can, you know, it can aggravate you throughout the season and kind of make you miss multiple games here and there. So it's the last thing they want. But with Christian McCaffrey, it's definitely more of an overuse thing by the looks of things.
We saw it reported yesterday by Yahoo that Baker Mayfield has a completely torn labrum in his non-throwing arm, in that shoulder. One, what is life like when you have that sort of injury? Because I've even heard of your sleep being affected because you just can't get comfortable and you're having to overcompensate for some things. But what does that mean for him, and how do you think that this torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder is affecting his play?
Yeah, so the only good news here is that it's his non-throwing shoulder. Outside of that, when you have a torn labrum to your shoulder, it's going to affect so many different things. Like you said, sleeping, if he's a side sleeper and he sleeps on his left side or he tosses and turns, it's going to affect him in terms of finding a comfortable position. And then just being a quarterback, I mean, he's going to get hit at some point, and the impact of landing on that shoulder is definitely going to be more painful than usual. And then the stability of the left shoulder in general, if he's running with the ball and goes to stiff arm someone, or if he's even just trying to do something with that left arm outstretched, it's definitely going to cause issues. And then anything overhead, especially considering the severity of the labral tear, is going to be definitely cumbersome. And the one thing that most people don't know about the labrum is it kind of works in concordance with the biceps. So you know, elbow movement can be affected by this as well. So that's something to factor in as well as we go through this injury. But the good news is it is his non-throwing arm, so it won't affect his ability to throw a ton. But it's going to be in the back of his mind when he takes hits and things like that.
Himmel's with us from Benchmark Physical Therapy. And so football season moving on. Basketball season started up last night in the NBA. The Warriors got a win against the Lakers without Klay Thompson. He's hoping to be back around Christmas time, it looks like. But Himmel, since we last saw Klay Thompson, torn Achilles, then a torn ACL, what has rehab been like for him over the last almost a couple of years, I guess? And what is he facing trying to come back and get back out on the court finally?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that Christmas Day is probably a good time frame considering the injuries that he had and the fact that they happened back-to-back. With the Achilles, it's really going to affect his ability to jump and the explosiveness for him. And then with the ACL, it's similar, but it's more of that lateral movement. So his ability to cut and pivot as well as land is going to really be affected. But it sounds like the ACL happened first, so he should be able to – that should be mostly recovered. It's the Achilles that's really going to be concerning for him and his ability to generate power out of that leg. They're going to have to do comparisons of both legs to make sure that he gets fully fit, because the last thing they want is to send him out there too early and risk another season-ending injury to occur.
Is that also, I don't want to say common, but when you injure, like he had torn the left ACL and then tears the right Achilles, do you guys see that a lot where if one side of the body is recovering from something, it makes the other side of the body more susceptible to injury?
It can happen due to overuse. The fact that he totally ruptured his Achilles isn't the most common thing I've seen, especially considering it was, I think, preseason workouts is how he did it. With the Achilles tendon, honestly, it's one of those things that we usually don't have many precipitating factors as to when it's going to go, and when it goes, it literally just goes. More often than not, it is due to an explosive movement or something to do with jumping or planting 9 times out of 10. So yeah, it's a weird one for sure.
Himmel, on the other side of the court last night, you had the Lakers. Now, I don't necessarily like people referring to this as an older basketball team, because they're all about my age now, so that's no good. But I recognize they're older than their counterparts. What about managing this team? What do you think there? LeBron said, limiting minutes is not going to help me avoid injury like the ankle last year. But what do you think there, just trying to get through 82 games and be ready for the postseason?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, LeBron's my age, so, you know, they're not an older team.
Young,
per se,
if you ask me. Yeah,
yeah, they're in their prime. But no, as you get up in age, obviously the you have to focus more on your recovery as well as your body's resilience, and that's really what it's going to take. You know, I do limiting minutes for the most part. I kind of agree with him. It may not help limit injuries. It's really going to be the recovery that's going to be a factor. But LeBron specifically, he's a little banged up from the years of playing. And so, you know, some limitations in minutes might be smart. They're going to have to assess him week in and week out and make sure that there is no overuse occurring within his musculature, just to make sure that he can continue to perform at peak levels. And that goes for this entire team. There's a bunch of systems they can use, and I'm sure that they're using to monitor them. But, you know, as you get older and more seasoned, as I like to say, they're really going to have to focus on recovery, stretching, and their diet, and making sure that they're getting the rest they need to allow their bodies to heal up and continue to perform at these high levels. You know, the biggest thing is as you get older, your ligament integrity reduces, your tissue's ability to heal decreases in terms of speed, and those are things that have to be factored in considering the length of their season too.
Hey, Emma, we talked about a number of different injuries, and as you know, there continue to be advancements in ways that you can help athletes recover or everyday people. What does Benchmark Physical Therapy do for people all across the area, and what do you do to continue to make sure you're up to date on technology and ways to treat these injuries?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our clinicians, they get the best of the best training. They get the most education nationwide for what they can do in advancing their skill set. And another thing that they do that's not often talked about is we do spend a lot of time within our communities giving back and trying to make sure that we serve the entire population that for the part of Knoxville we may be in. And something I wanted to just highlight today since I'm on was we are doing a Fitness for Fighters charitable event on Friday where we will have clinicians actually raising money to help cancer survivors, considering it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I thought it was a big thing to plug for our guys. And yes, we're really excited about it and really looking forward to being able to give back to the community. You know, we do so much for them in the clinic. It's always nice to do stuff for them outside of the clinic too.
That is wonderful. And I've seen what you've done there at Benchmark to help and give back to the community. Is there anything that people need to know about that before we let you go?
It will be happening at Ridge Functional Fitness. And if you go to any of our Facebook pages and you would like to donate, feel free. There's a link there. But outside of that, we really do appreciate Knoxville for letting us be their provider of choice.
Yeah, wonderful. We will we'll share that as well. If you'd like to donate to help support, you can find a location near you with Benchmark Physical Therapy, as they have locations all over the place, benchmarkpt.com. Himmel, thanks for the information. Thanks for taking time to join us today, and thanks for all that you and Benchmark do for the community.
Thank you, guys.
This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We appreciate you hanging out here at the Dollar General Market, 9224 Middlebrook Pike, out here thanks to Bud Light.
We are here, and they got the lowest beer prices in town. Come by and get registered for the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville. This is our very first remote. We're super excited. We're going to draw two qualifiers coming up in about 20 minutes. So stay tuned for that, because you're going to get the grand prize winner is going to get tickets to the Old Crow Medicine Show at the Ryman on December 31st. Preds versus Chicago Blackhawks on January 1st. Titans versus Dolphins on January 2nd. Plus $750 to make this a New Year's in Nashville that is just going to be awesome, might I say. And that's all thanks to our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, they've got Michelob Ultra 12-pack of cans or bottles here at the Dollar General, $11.95. They also have Bud Ice, Natty Light, Busch 8-packs of 16-ounce cans, all that, $5.95 each. Here at the Dollar General Market.
That's right, 9224 Middlebrook Pike with a very cool prize. Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville, two tickets sold. Crow Medicine Show New Year's Eve. The Predators the next day on New Year's Day. The Titans against the Dolphins on January 2nd, plus $750 cash, and it's free to register. And you can check out our website, eBlast as well, to keep up with the schedule of where the sports animal will be for your chance to win Bud Light's New Year's in Nashville. As tomorrow will be Thursday, according to the calendar, which means we'll be getting closer to a college football weekend, and then Tennessee will be getting closer to a bye week, which by the time we get to Saturday, Sunday, they might be welcoming.
Yeah, let's just talk about that. Let's get ready for this
bye. For the bye week, yeah.
I am considering, because I'm in such a hole right now on my best bets over the past 4 weeks, I'm considering just throwing out Bama money line. You were kind of joking about that. I'm being dead serious, because it feels like a sure thing, Josh Ward.
Yeah.
You won't win anything, but it feels like a sure thing where I can't lose.
Yeah, now checking, I'm not sure one is being offered. See if I can find you one. They're big favorites. Bama is, as you might have heard. There you go. You can get minus 5,000 at Action 24/7.
Okay.
Not all sites are offering. Action 24/7 is offering a minus 5,000 on Alabama.
There you go. And then you look at what kind of game they're coming off of, just absolutely dominating Mississippi State, and then knowing the news about Hendon Hooker's injury that we just talked to Himmel with, and the fact that, like Braden Gall earlier said, don't play him. I don't care if he's 85%. Like, do not play that guy. Let him get as close to 100% as you can in time for the Kentucky game. Not saying I disagree. I don't think I disagree with that. But knowing that you could go into that type of environment on their homecoming with a backup quarterback situation makes me very nervous.
As it should. I know that there was a lot of frustration, concern with Joe Milton in the end of the game. I saw Velus Jones quote saying, hey, I made a mistake. I dropped a punt. It was costly. We got to have Joe's back. I'm paraphrasing at this point. But support Joe and going to need him. And Velus is right. So we'll see how things play out. We'll see exactly what Hendon Hooker's status is. But, you got to do the best you can, as you will not be at 100%. No team is at 100%, but some key players have been out here the last week for Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. And most notably, I mean, for this week, it could, like you said, it could be Hendon Hooker, and he has been an absolute catalyst for the optimism that has been there for this Tennessee football program over the past 3 weeks or month, if you want to go back that far. I mean, just the way the offense was working 2 weeks ago, and still, like, I think Braden's onto something, like, move on past, we all know what happened at the end of that game. The fact that you were playing a top 15 team and you had the ball, you were kind of controlling your own destiny with a minute or less than a minute on the clock. There's a lot to be proud of there, to where you can build on that, and hopefully this team does. I mean, the fans, they can wallow if they want to, but hopefully the team is feeling pretty confident at this point in time.
No wallowing.
Yeah. You can't wallow. Yeah. It just is what it is at this point.
Yeah.
You just move on.
After the Dodgers game tonight, might wallow for a few minutes, and then on to Thursday. We are on to the final segment
of
Sports
Night. Might be celebrating. See, you got to look on the bright side. You could be celebrating. You could be back in command of the series after tonight, in a strong command.
Nope. We'll come back. Final segment of Sports 180. We'll hit the Power Poll. It is presented by 865-AXE, and then Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. We're at the Dollar General Market. We are out here today with the Bud Light New Year's in Nashville giveaway opportunity at the Dollar General Market on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, final segment. We'll have Sports Talk coming up at 3 o'clock. Big thanks to Jay Leifert, engineering right here, Joel Silverberg producing for us, as always on Sports 180. Fun time here today.
Fun time at the Dollar General Market. And what an awesome place to be able to shop if you live in this area. They've got so many great specials. 9224 Middlebrook Pike. Don't forget Robert's Pumpkin Patch. Those pumpkins, only $2.95 each, and they have a beautiful assortment, all different sizes, and they're awesome. So loving this time of year, and then you can stock up. Lowest beer prices in town here at the Dollar General. They've got Michelob Ultra, 12-pack of cans or bottles for $11.95. Bud Ice, Natty Light, Busch Light, and Busch 8-pack of 16-ounce cans are all $5.95 each. And then they've got Bud Light and Budweiser 18-packs of cans for $14.95. And thanks to our friends at Bud Light for putting together just an incredible giveaway opportunity for everybody. The Bud Light New Year's in Nashville promotion. We're kicking it off today.
Yep.
There's only going to be like 15 opportunities to get registered. So make sure you come by and check out our website to see where we're going to be each and every day.
Thanks to Bud Light Eagle Distributing for setting this up. It's a really cool prize. New Year's in Nashville. Tickets to see Old Crow Medicine Show in Nashville on New Year's Eve, then the Predators the next day, then the Titans the day after that, plus $750 cash in the big grand prize. We will have the Power Poll coming up in a moment. We're getting you ready for Sports Talk, as it's been an action-packed Wednesday.
It's been an action-packed Wednesday, and, you know, this is just, I think, for everybody that's out there, this is going to be one of those weeks where you just get through it. You just get through it. It is what it is. You're tough. You're mentally tough out there. You can power through this. And maybe go to Fort Sanders, work off some of that aggression. It helps.
Tony Robbins right here. on the Sports 180. I like it.
I'm just trying to be the positive one. You gave me a good glimpse at what it has been like to be my co-host for the last 15 years, as you just took a turn to negative town when I was talking about the Braves, and I was like, oh, it was almost like staring into a mirror. I was like, now I know what Mickey and Jeff and Tyler have felt at different points.
Yes, it's been quite a journey to this point, as we are getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. John Wilkerson, of course, will be a big part of the show. Joins us now. Hey, John, good afternoon. How are you?
Is that journey resembling of anything like Milan to Minsk?
Quite different. Got to rewind the tape, of course.
And then also, this is just a complete and total different side note. Should you and Kelly have anything beyond Max and Owen, I'm guessing that Luke and Jackson are off the table as names. Am I right?
Should we ever get to that point? Yeah, we're going to go in a different route. Ronald still up for grabs.
Ronald,
Freddie,
yes.
Freddie for sure. Luke and Jackson, not today for sure. Not after last night.
What about Michael or Scotty?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Or I could just go heel turn. Cody or Bellinger Ward, maybe. Just can't beat him, join him. That's
old
always.
Oh, Belly Ward,
Ozzy would be pretty good. Ozzy or Chipper?
Yep. We're working through it. No problem. Still a 2-1 series lead. What could go wrong from here?
Oh, goodness.
I can just say watch out for that top of the ninth and any borderline calls.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. I had a water bottle, and I was about to put some mustard on my hot dog. Just threw it in the floor after that home run last night. Threw it in the floor. What other choice did I have?
You were given none.
In the moment.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. As we're getting ready for Sports Talk, let's hit today's Power Poll. All righty, John. The Power Poll is presented by 865-ACT. So last night was the quick tip-off with two games in the NBA, more games tonight. So we have our top five NBA teams to lead off the season. Would you like to lead us off with your top five?
Why, sure. And beyond the honorable mentions, I would simply remind folks that Cleveland and Chicago are indeed still part of the league. But
yes.
My top five shapes up this way, and that would be at number five, I'm putting in the Lakers. I think that's such an old roster, an aging and veteran roster, it's going to be a difficult challenge to keep it healthy. So I'll go the Lakers at number five. I think people are forgetting about Phoenix. I put them at number four. I will slide Milwaukee in at number three. I will go Utah at number two, and I will go Brooklyn number one.
Utah, give me two. At number two for John Wilkerson, I like it. Heather Harrington, your top five NBA teams to tip off the season.
All right, one thought that I had, man, the East sucks. I would love to mention more East teams. Two of the honorable mention spot. I'll put the 76ers in honorable mention.
John reminded you of the Cavs and the Bulls. Thank you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'll put the Rockets in my honorable mention in the West, too. Okay,
why
there
not?
We go.
Why
yeah.
Not?
So I'm going to go 76ers and Nets in the honorable mention spot. There's a lot of drama going on there. We'll see how it all flushes out. I'm sure it'll be fine, but they're in my honorable mention spot right now. So, and at number five, I've got Phoenix. I've got the Utah Jazz at number four. Because they still have arguably one of the best players in the NBA. I know he's getting old and LeBron James, but they also have young buck Anthony Davis. Like, I'm putting them at the number three spot. I'm saying Golden State comes roaring back this year. We'll see what happens with Klay Thompson when he rejoins the team later on. But I'm going to put Golden State at number two and then Milwaukee at number one.
Yeah, also, I would like to repeat from earlier, LeBron is aging, but in defense of the class of 2003 member, great all-time high school graduating class, aren't we all aging? We should all be so lucky. So that's my defense for LeBron, who definitely needed here on the show. I have the Lakers honorable mention. Let's work their way into the top five. They will. I have Golden State and Chicago because it's my honorable mention list. I'll mention that they play the Pistons tonight. Number five on my list, I have the Brooklyn Nets. They're still working things out with Kyrie not being there and not working out with the team. I have the Denver Nuggets, number four, the Jazz, number three. And I'll just go with the teams that were there at the top to end last season, at the top to start this season, the Phoenix Suns, number two, and the Milwaukee Bucks, defending champs, who did win last night at number one. The season is here. College basketball right around the corner. That is the Power Poll. It is presented by 865-AXE. Find them online, 865-AXE.com. It's where Knoxville goes to throw.